Welcome, everybody. Today we are here at our CCB partner segment with Guide Dogs for the Blind, and we have Jake from GDB, not Jake from State Farm, here to give us some information and answer our questions. So Jake, I'm going to go ahead and hand it on over to you. And when we get to a part for questions, guys, if you just say your name and then Jake or I can call on you, we'll make it work. So awesome. Jake, the floor is yours.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much to Council of the Blind for having me here this evening. I appreciate that a lot. And so does GDB. So officially, my name is Jake Cook. I'm the Community Outreach Specialist here at Guide Dogs for the Blind. I've been with the organization for almost 10 years. Can't believe it. Time has flown. I'm also visually impaired myself and a guide dog handler. And I travel with an 8-year-old female black Labrador named Forli. And Forli is an Italian city. Easy name to say, kind of challenging one to explain. So I'm going to talk to you a bit about Guide Dogs for the Blind services. How to qualify, best practices for applying, really to help you make an informed choice about guide dog mobility. So Guide Dogs for the Blind is a national and international program. We have two campuses, one in the very exciting town of Boring, Oregon. And that is absolutely no joke. I can never say it with a straight face. And Boring is located about 20 miles east of downtown Portland, Oregon, in the Great Northwest. And then we have another campus in the town of San Rafael, California, about 20 miles north of the Golden Gate Bridge, which also doubles as our headquarters. Between the two campuses, we serve clients in all the 50 states and Canada, provide all of our services free of charge. And we breed our own stock of Labradors, Golden Retrievers, and a Labrador Golden Retriever crossbreed. And we can talk a little bit more about that stuff if people have questions on breeds and that sort of thing and how all that works. So in terms of programming, we're best known for our guide dog program. It is in the name after all, Guide Dogs for the Blind. But we also have some other support programs as well. One of them being a whole complement of youth services, and that is overseen by the lovely Jane Flower, Youth Outreach Specialist, excellent colleague and friend of mine. And so what we're trying to do with that is to engage the younger population in helping them understand what's involved in having a guide dog. So that looks like two summer camps during this summer season, one for 14 to 17 year olds, one for 18 to 24 year olds. We also do some virtual programming throughout the year. We bring on panels. We have various representatives from different departments across the organization talk to groups of youth who are blind or visually impaired through Jane's virtual programming. In the youth services, we also goes out to things like Schools for the Blind and other youth-centric organizations that serve people who are blind or visually impaired. So that's a little about youth services. So if you know somebody sort of in that transitional age, you know, essentially 14 to 24, point them to our youth services if they're thinking about a guide dog, because we're really working to try and help engage that population as well. And then we, of course, have some adult education programs, and that's a big part of my job, is going out to agencies that serve people who are blind and visually impaired, giving presentations at things like this tonight, et cetera, and helping people really make that informed choice about guide dog mobility. Another prep program that we have here at Guide Dogs for the Blind is called the Orientation and Mobility Immersion Program. This is also a free program. It lasts 1 week. You get about 25 hours of orientation and mobility instruction. And the goal of the program is to help people to bridge the skills gap between what they currently have in terms of O&M training and what would be beneficial to them in terms of transitioning to life with a guide dog. So for example, maybe you've received 5 hours of O&M instruction or 10 hours of O&M instruction. Maybe you've got sort of what they call survival skills, just enough to get around your home neighborhood or couple of blocks or, you know, a campus, et cetera, et cetera. But you want to expand that. You want to get out there. You want to travel more. You want to be more engaged with your community. You want to feel a little more independent, a little more confident about all of that. That's where the orientation and mobility immersion program comes into play. So it is hosted, owned, and operated by Guide Dogs for the Blind, but we do partner with three blindness agencies in California. They are the San Francisco Lighthouse for the Blind, the Earl Baum Center for the Blind up in Santa Rosa, north of San Francisco, and then Wayfinder Family Services, which is located near LA. So again, it is our curriculum, it's our program, but we do use these other agencies to help us carry out the program inside those agencies, as well as on both of our campuses. We actually just completed orientation and mobility immersion program at the Oregon campus last week for a couple of clients. So it is open to both new clients as well as guide dog handlers who are what we call retrains, or people coming back for a successor dog, because we've seen a huge benefit to those folks, especially maybe if you've lost some vision since you were in for training, or maybe you feel like you could strengthen your skills, your life has changed, etc. So that's another program that you can take advantage of as well at Guide Dogs for the Blind. You would apply to it in a similar fashion to applying to a guide dog. And in fact, if you go through the orientation and mobility immersion program, you don't then have to turn around and apply for a guide dog if you so choose to. We can take most of the information that you give us on that application and apply it to your guide dog application. So we try to make it as smooth as possible for you to get through the program. So talking a little bit about guide dog readiness, how do you know if you're ready for a guide dog? What are some best practices for applying for one? So I always like to start this conversation by explaining what our application criteria are. And there are three of them. They are legal blindness, so being declared by an ophthalmologist or other eye care professional. So if you don't know what that means, if you don't know if you're legally blind, a lot of people actually don't. I answer calls from potential applicants all over this great nation and Canada, and there's definitely a few people, quite a few people that don't even know if they're considered that. So it's a pretty simple eye test that most eye care professionals can help you complete. So legal blindness, and then we ask people to complete a formalized orientation and mobility training program. So whether that's in your home area through a commission for the blind or a lighthouse, or maybe working with a private contractor, et cetera, but just making sure that you've completed a program where you've got those sort of foundational skills, being able to make safe street crossings, being able to plan and execute routes, being able to use non-tactile travel skills. That's really important if you're thinking about a guide dog. And one of the key differences is you don't have as much tactile input with a guide dog as you do with a cane. You do get some through the dog's harness that it's wearing and that you're holding on to, and as well as through your feet, but you're not getting nearly as much as with a cane. So developing those auditory skills, time distance estimation, you know, being able to remain oriented along a route, all of the sort of basic fundamentals of orientation and mobility, you'll want to complete through an O&M training program. And again, you don't have to remember what all of those little checkboxes are, but know that an orientation and mobility specialist can help come up with a customized program for you. So legal blindness, completed orientation and mobility program. And then the third criteria is three examples of what we call destination routes. These are places that you're going to on a regular basis, you know, that you're leaving your home, you know, about 3 to 5 times per week, depending, you know, on average, right? Sometimes the weather might not be so great. You may not travel as much. I live in Portland, just outside of it, rather, and I like to call this place the land of eternal rain, because that's all it's been doing is raining, essentially, and snowing since October, it feels like. So there are definitely weeks where I may not travel as much, and that's certainly acceptable and understandable. But that you have places to go, and the destinations to us don't particularly matter. They could be a workplace, a coffee shop, a friend's house, a school, place of worship, etc. Really what's important is that they're a destination that you and your dog, new potential dog, could travel to, and that they involve about a half mile's worth of walking round trip. So if I put that another way, that means that throughout the course of that particular route, those three routes, each of them, you're walking a half mile round trip, or about 6 to 8 city blocks. So imagine you leave your house, you walk 4 blocks to the coffee shop, you get a cup of coffee, you walk home, right? That's eight blocks round trip. That's about half mile. Put another way, maybe you walk 2 or 3 blocks to a bus stop, you get on a bus, you ride downtown, you get off the bus, you walk 2 or 3 blocks to your workplace, and then you do the thing in reverse at the end of the day. That's also an example. So just think about, you can have more routes. You can have routes that maybe you only get picked up and dropped off, like maybe you have a paratransit route, maybe you have a significant other or a friend that drives you to a place. I definitely relate to that. But just make sure that you have 3 examples of places that you're going to that involve some walking. And then it helps us kind of understand your routes, your neighborhood, the types of travel that you do, the environment that you're in, things of that nature. So that's our criteria for admission to Guide Dogs for the Blind. Again, legal blindness, completed orientation and mobility training, and 3 examples of destination routes. The application process is relatively straightforward, and I like to call it admissions 1, 2, 3. So it consists of 1 application, 2 interviews, and 3 professional reference forms. And I'll explain all of those in a little bit more detail. So that 1 application can be found at guidedogs.com. We can complete one over the phone by calling 800-295-4050, or we can even mail you a application packet in ink print. Some people still prefer those, and they might get assistance filling that out, fax and or emailing it back to us. So the application is going to ask you some general questions. Where do you live? What are those examples of routes that you're traveling on? Have you received O&M training? If so, when? What is your visual impairment? I'll ask you some other demographic information, things like how did you hear about us, et cetera. Just kind of a baseline of who you are. That's then followed up by 2 interviews, 1 to be conducted by the admissions department. And that is to kind of learn a little bit more about you, what you listed on your application, confirm some information. We want to learn about your environment. We want to learn about what are these routes like? What are the most challenging aspects of them? Do you travel in any unique environments? Do you take public transit? Do you use escalators? Do you go to big cities, small towns, the countryside? Really just trying to kind of build out that picture of who you are. The second interview is conducted by the training department, specifically by a guide dog mobility instructor, and it's often referred to as the home interview. So this is where we would visit you in your home, and it gives us a chance to physically see the environment that you live and travel in. It allows us to ask you some detailed questions about what are your preferences in a dog? How do you think a dog's going to fit into your lifestyle? It's going to give you a chance to ask us some of those questions as well. It'll give us a chance for you to show us an example of some traveling that you do. It's not a test. It's more of just show and tell. So we really just want to see, how do you interact with your environment? When you leave your house, do you use your cane? Do you use residual vision? Do you use both? Do you use GPS? How do you interact? How do you travel? How do you make a safe street crossing? Things of that nature. So that's the home interview. So again, 1 application, 2 interviews. And then we gather 3 professional reference forms. And those reference forms are a low vision report to be completed by ophthalmologist or other related eye care professional. And that's to verify legal blindness, as well as give us some more detailed information about what you can and can't see if you have some usable vision, because that's going to help us later while we're working with you in class. We're then going to collect an orientation and mobility proficiency report. So that's to be completed by your O&M instructor. And again, that just helps us understand what's the scope of training that you received. How much training did you receive? What kinds of things did you guys work on? So it's going to prompt the O&M instructor to, essentially be accountable for the education that they provided to you. And it's going to allow us to collect that information in a way that's going to make it, easy for us to know how to best serve you while you're with us in class. How do you like to learn? How do you interact with your environment from a more technical perspective, etc.? And then finally, we collect a physical exam, and that's really just to make sure that you're physically able to handle a dog. We don't have a list of conditions that would disqualify you, but if you have additional physical disabilities, we'd like to know about that so we can best serve you while you're with us, both in class and out in the field. So that's the admissions process. Again, one application, two interviews, three professional reference forms. It takes about 8 to 10 weeks to complete a guide dog application. Once the application is complete, all of the information I just described goes in front of the admissions review committee, and they take a look at the information and they make a decision. The committee is made up of senior level staff throughout the organizations who have had a lot of experience in the field. And if everything checks out, then we would offer you a class date. Our current wait time right now, including application process, is about 5 to 12 months, give or take. There's a lot of factors that can change that number, you know, things like dog availability, your availability, if you have any specific preferences or needs that might make things take a little bit longer. But know that, you know, with this pandemic, we're still working through it. A guide dog school is a very complicated machine, if you will, a process, a system. And when it gets disrupted by something as big as a pandemic, it's going to take a while to kind of get things back on track, but know that we're working very hard and diligently to do that. So any questions so far about anything I've talked about?
This is fantastic, Jake. If anybody has any questions, just go ahead and speak up and shout it out.
Sir, it's Susan.
Go for it, Susan.
Hi, and thank you so much, Jake. My name is Susan Glass. I'm president of our Golden State Guide Dog Handlers chapter here in CCB, and I have my fourth guide on me. And my question pertains to retrain. When retrains go back for a new dog, do we also go through the whole 1-2-3 process? Things have changed over the last 30 years, as you might expect. So just curious.
Yeah, great question, Susan. So as a retrain, yep, you would complete the same application, and it's a similar process. One application, two interviews, three professional reference forms. Now, we do have quite a bit of information on you already, given that you are a graduate of the program. So, you know, there may be parts of that application where we may not need to collect duplicate information.
I see.
For example, we probably aren't going to ask you for an O&M proficiency report because we have, you know, X number of years of follow-up visits that have been conducted by our own GDMI guide dog mobility instructing staff. So the process does go a little faster for a retrain because we do know you already. And, you know, a lot of the information we can pull from our internal resources already. But it is a similar process, albeit a bit faster than a new applicant who we're just getting to know for the first time.
Thank you, Jake. That's perfect. Thanks a lot.
Yep. You're welcome.
Hi, this is Christine Bailey. I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it. Do you have to be vaccinated in order to be a participant in your program now?
That's a great question. So the answer is yes, we do require that for clients who are going to attend class on campus. If you have an extenuating circumstance, it's possible that you could qualify for in-home training. Know that we handle these on a case-by-case basis, and that would be something you would want to discuss with the admissions department if you decide to apply.
Because mine would be probably that way, because they're not wanting me to get the shot due to I have toxoplasmosis, so they're not wanting me to get the shot.
Okay. Yeah, I would. If you're thinking about applying, I would contact our 800 number, ask to speak to the admissions manager. His name is Ryan Garrett. You might have to leave him a message. Super nice guy, really responsive, and you can talk through your specific scenario with him in confidence, and he can advise you the best way to move forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Good question.
This is Anthony.
Go for it, Anthony.
Yeah, I'm 72 years old, and I'm totally blind. I went to school at a school for the blind many, many years ago. And when I went then, they were just beginning to use guide dogs a lot. And we were kind of encouraged not to really use them if we had good mobility skills. Well, I do have very good mobility skills. And as I've gotten older, I keep thinking about getting a dog. But at 72, I'm wondering if that's a wise thing to do.
Yeah, Anthony, that's a great question. And I appreciate you sharing that perspective. That's an interesting one to me about the mobility. So we do not have a posted minimum or maximum age requirement at Guide Dogs for the Blind. So, you know, if you have good O&M skills, you meet our criteria in terms of the legal blindness, O&M training, and you're traveling, you know, regularly outside your home, yeah, I would encourage you to apply. To give you perspective, the average client age at Guide Dogs for the Blind is 57 years old. So we do serve certainly an older population and an older demographic. When I was in class, there was a gentleman there who was in his 80s getting his guide dog for the first time. So that is not uncommon. And so if that is something of interest to you, I would highly encourage you to consider applying.
And Anthony, you'd look great with a dog. And he's not kidding, Jake. He has excellent mobility skills. Anthony has saved me at many conventions.
Fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's something I've been considering in the last year or two, and I just sometimes think, well, you know, I know people do it when they're older, but I just kind of don't know if that, I don't know. It just, I guess I need the encouragement sometimes. That's it.
Sure. Well, it's a big decision, and that's a big part of my job is helping people make that decision. I would encourage you to visit our website, guidedogs.com, if you can. We do have some outreach activities, specifically the Path to a Guide Dog e-series. That's a virtual three-part series where we kind of take a deep dive into guide dog readiness and preparedness and our programs and services. And then we also have an in-person version of that event or a similar event called a Guide Dog Lifestyle Workshop. And those take place at both our California and Oregon campuses. And it's a half-day long event. You even get a chance to walk with a trained guide dog. That's the highlight for most people. So if you're looking for more information, if you're from the schools themselves or us specifically, know that those resources are available to you. Go to guidedogs.com, click on the Programs for the Blind and Visually Impaired link, and it'll take you to all of our offerings.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate your answering my question.
Absolutely. Other questions?
Oh, well, hearing none. Well, Jake, thank you so much for taking time on a Monday evening to come hang out with us. And if you wouldn't mind shooting me those links and everything, I can send them out to folks, and that way they can have them right there in their inbox.
Yes, I will get you that information. If not this evening, I'll get it over to you tomorrow.
Sounds fantastic. And Jake, if any of our chapters or affiliates are interested in having you come and speak at their meetings virtually or in person, how does that look? How does that work?
Yeah, what I would recommend is just reach out to me directly. My email address is the letter J, K-O, C as in Charlie, H, at guidedogs.com. So that's J Cook. I know, different spelling. J-K-O-C-H at guidedogs.com. That's probably the fastest way. Or you can call our 800 number, 800-295-4050, and you can find me at extension 2105. Again, 2105 is my extension, 800-295-4050, the main number for Guide Dogs for the Blind. We'd be happy, either myself or another member of the outreach department would be happy to speak virtually and or in person. And that's something we could work out individually with each request that comes in.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Jake. And if you are interested, you can totally stick around for our writer's workshop if you feel like it. It's up to you. Because I bet you a guy like you that has lots of cool stuff you got going on. But if you want to be even cooler and hang out with us, you can.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.